Welcome to Tales She Told Me, a podcast featuring honest conversations about what it means to be a woman, a mother, and in business. I'm your host, Farah Haidar. So this episode is actually a follow-up to a previous one I did, my episode on clarity. Because after running that episode, a friend reached out and said, but how? How do you get clarity? Now, obviously, no one has a surefire way to do that. After all, if there was one, none of us would struggle with it so much. But what I do have is a lot of techniques I've gathered from hours of delving deep into topics like this. Through all of it, I've cobbled together a process that I've started to use. Now, full disclaimer, none of these techniques are my own, but I have tested them and found that they have worked for me. So maybe they'll work for you too. Of course, feel free to pick and choose what you want to do. Just make sure that you're not copping out of an exercise because it feels too hard. One of the key parts to this process is being honest with yourself, no matter what comes up. And hey, if you want to shoot me some ideas on how to do this, I'm all ears. Now, before I get started, I wanted to talk about the process itself. I think a lot of people assume that the process is going to be easy or joyful or fun even. Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't found that to be the case. The process of discovering what you truly want is usually a labor of love. After all, if this was just about picking something great, we wouldn't struggle with it so much. It's going to be a process of uncovering assumptions, letting go of long-held beliefs, maybe even dreams, that are not desirable or attainable anymore, and admitting to things you may not want to admit to. So why do it? I mean, if things are okay in your life right now, why go through the pain? Look, if you're happy with where things are right now, by all means, go be happy. There is way too much pressure to, quote unquote, find your purpose in life. Just live. Your purpose isn't something you can escape from. It will find you, and you will find it. Maybe you're even living it now without realizing. Don't worry so much about purpose. Worry about contentment and growth. And if you're not okay with how things are now, well, I'm going to address something that really hangs a lot of people up. See, I think your personal contentment and growth is the greatest gift you can give the world. When you're content with the path you are on, you're more giving and generous. When you've battled through your own layers of doubt and maybe even buried dreams, you become more empathetic. When you've recognized your own mistakes, you have less judgment of others. And I don't know what the world needs more of right now than happiness, generosity, empathy, and less judgment. Most people think this is selfish. It's not. It's about the most unselfish thing you can do. You leaving situations that aren't good for you anymore makes space for someone who it would be an ideal situation for. You sparking a dream creates opportunities for others. So take the time. Now, I'm going to start with an overarching view of the process as I see it, and we'll delve into each point afterwards. The process is deceptively simple. It's when you follow it that you uncover some of the obstacles. And I'll do my best to point out the obstacles I've hit along the way. And you're going to hear me reference a lot of activities and really focus on what you do every day. That's deliberate. I don't think anyone gets clarity purely through thought. It's when we translate our thoughts into action do we start getting clearer. So now, the process. It's in this order. Take stock and pay attention. Eliminate what's no longer working. Add new things that do work, make new friends, and pick up new skills along the way. Continue to tweak. That's it. I know, simple, right? Yeah, sort of. Let's dive deep. First, taking stock and paying attention. You're going to need a way to take notes for this part, so choose whatever works for you. A big poster board, an electronic document, voice memos, a notes app. Whatever you will regularly use, because you're going to be taking notes over a long period of time. So now, sit down and evaluate how you spend your time. Where is it going? What's an average week look like for you? Now pay attention to how your body reacts to each item. Does it feel tight and ugh, or light and expansive? Do you sigh when you write it down? or smile. Take note of all those things. Set those notes aside. Now start paying attention as you go through your week. See, a lot of us are running on autopilot every day. Stop that. Everything that you do, ask the questions. Why am I doing this? Do I have to do this? Do I want to do this? How did I end up doing this? Let the answers pop into your mind. Then question those answers. If you are saying things like, well, because I have to, or because I love people, I want you to go a step further and question those assumptions. Do you really have to? Do you still love serving people in this way? Do you even still love people? Question everything until you get to an honest and clear answer that resonates. Make sure to check in with your body. See, the body has more wisdom than we give it credit for, and it is the best BS detector out there. It will tell you when there's still digging to do and when you've hit gold. And it often tells us things we aren't ready to say yet. Take notes of your answers. Resist the urge to edit, please. Just take notes. Ask yourself this very important question that I found very useful. It's, when do you feel jealous? List all the times someone said something and you felt that pang in your heart. That, damn, I wish I could do that. And make sure you note why you felt that way. Like if someone said they went hiking for 2 weeks, were you jealous of the hiking, of being outdoors, or the 2 week vacation? Be specific. Your jealousy is a guide to your desires. I'll give you one of mine. If I heard that someone had climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, I'd be impressed, but not jealous, because I have like zero desire to do that. But tell me someone has written a book, and that pang of jealousy would hit deep. That tells me something. Note it. Move on. Every week, I want you to set aside some time to make good use of tools like journaling, voice memoing, meditation, art, whatever. You're trying to delve deep into how you are feeling. What are the images and words that appear? Do you see something come up over and over and over again? What is that thing? Why do you feel drawn to it? Maybe it's a word, maybe it's an image, maybe it's a feeling. What is it about it that you like? Again, take notes. And again, no editing, no judgment, just take notes. Also, ideally, if you can set aside some time, hopefully a couple of hours, but even 20 minutes will do, to just do something you keep saying you want to do, but never get around to. Like for me, this is crafts. I rarely can do it, but I love doing it. For you, it might be reading, or maybe taking your significant other out on a picnic. Whatever. Go do it. Take at least a couple of weeks to do this, maybe more. Don't rush it. The information you get here is invaluable, and it will help you be more decisive in the future. And here's a roadblock alert, all right? Make sure that while you're doing this, you suspend all preconceived notions. I touched a little bit on this before, but it's really important. You know, have you always thought of yourself as someone that's into business? Maybe you're into the arts, people, whatever. Don't just take that assumption and run. Really look at it. You can and do change. I used to think I was the most extroverted person and I needed people all the time in my life. As I've grown older, I realize that that's not always the case. I'm more selective in my friendships. And I think that idea that I was an extrovert just really came from my family, which was very extroverted. So if I took that assumption and kept it, I'd be misleading myself. Examine things. The reason you may have signed on for something may no longer hold true. And some of what you find may surprise you. Some of it may feel unrealistic. Let it be. We'll work on the how later. If you start drowning yourself in this phase with quote-unquote realism, you're going to be done before you get started. Don't worry about the how. Right now, you're just gathering information. Now, you should come out of this step with a pretty clear picture of your current life and some of the desires that have been whispering to you. And once you feel you have a handle on that, it's time to move on to step two, eliminating what's no longer working. Now, I start here because I think trying to pick out what you do want from the many options many of us have can be too overwhelming. How can you add even more to what is probably already a full plate? So I start with something simpler. What do I not want? That's easier. First, I'm dealing with a finite number of things that are happening in my life right now. I can run through each one and ask, is this still working for me? What's changed from when I started doing this? Start off by eliminating those things. It's what I like to call an easy win, and it'll bring some relief and make space to expand. Here's where you have to be careful, though. Eliminating those things can cause panic. It's like, oh, I've got this free time now. I'm not doing as much as I used to. I should be doing something, right? I'm on this journey. I should be moving forward in some way. And we want to be action-oriented, right? So what do? We go looking for things to do, and that often leads us to putting the wrong things back on our plate, mainly because we, and the people around us, are used to us doing specific things, being good at specific things. And it's so easy to just pick those things up again, because what are you going to do if not those things? Resist that urge. This is a really sensitive time of transition. Be very choosy and very specific about what you put back on your plate. And get comfortable with being uncomfortable for a bit or feeling a bit lost. That's all part of the process. You're doing the work, even if it feels like you aren't. After you've cleared your plate, it's time to start choosing new things and activities to pursue. The question is, what? Remember those handy-dandy notes? Here's where you're going to go back to them. Start gathering the major themes you notice. What do the themes look like? Well, I'll give you some of mine. I feel light when I'm talking to customers, unless they're complaining. The silence of the booth brings me peace. I love talking into a mic. I can spend hours working with other creative people. This template for social media posts bugs me. It's too restrictive. I resent that I have to stop in the middle of something to take a phone call or a meeting. I am bored out of my mind replying to emails. And on it goes. Now, from those notes, I start pulling out themes. I still love talking to and interacting with people, but I prefer not to be in customer service. I want more space to play in my creative work. Sharing my ideas and thoughts with people really revs me up, and so forth. If you're really paying attention not only to what you are feeling, but why you are feeling that way, themes will emerge. Little niggling ideas will surface. Ideas start to spark. Now, before you rush off and start adding something, pause for a moment. Sit down with the idea. List all the reasons you like it. Now, list all the potential drawbacks. I love being in my booth, but I'm concerned it could be really isolating. I mean, how am I going to deal with that? I don't know. Maybe start a podcast that interviews women with extraordinary stories? See where I'm going with this. After you've tried it on, schedule a small activity that'll bring you closer to this on your calendar. Please do more than just Google or research it. Take an action that forces you to engage. If you've been eliminating, you should have the time. Make it non-negotiable. For example, when I started considering going into voiceover, I scheduled an intro to voiceover class. That led me to a longer voiceover training, which helped me get a booth, introduce me to other VO artists, etc. It's a chain of events that starts with little things. And look, it may be a dud. You may schedule a couple of activities and go, you know what? I'm not feeling this. Great! That's clarity. Move on to the next theme. And as you add more and more things that you love to do, things get clearer. You start figuring out what is fantasy and what is real. Word of caution, though. You might be tempted to kind of bounce some of these ideas off a loved one or other people. I'm going to caution you against that. The truth is that people have their preconceived notions about us. They bring their own fears and insecurities to the table. And it's far too easy for a loved one's dismissiveness to become a block for you. Treat these budding ideas like you would a baby flower. Give them sunlight, water them often, and protect them from accidental trampling, or even deliberate trampling, if you know what I mean. Having said that, I also want to tackle another obstacle that I face, and I think that sneaks up on people. What if you do all this work and what you want is just not feasible, or it feels impractical, or you're really sure that the time for you has passed? Now, this is really tricky, okay? But I'm going to share with you a theme of mine that has been coming up a lot lately to kind of illustrate how to get around this. It's freedom. And I mean this in so many ways. I keep having this idea that I want the freedom to pursue the creative endeavors I want to pursue without interruption, the freedom to try new things, the freedom from schedules and appointments. I want wide open spaces and fresh air. And when I first wrote this down, I immediately followed it with impossible. I mean, have you met me? I run a couple of businesses, have a podcast, have two very busy children, a husband that travels a lot, as well as being a friend, a sister, etc. Let's just say life is busy. In fact, my life is ruled by my calendar. I map out my entire week on Sunday and can often tell you down to the minute where I will be at any given time. This is the opposite of freedom. That word that seems to haunt every meditation, every journal entry, every daydream. And it's not that I don't love what I do now. I do. I love my family and my kids. I love the work that I do. It's all very exciting and very big. But sometimes I feel like the only space left for what I love most is at the very edges of this existence, in the minute spaces in between everything else. And when those edges get too small, those spaces too minute, I feel like I'm drowning in a sea of obligations as the tick-tick of time serenades me in the background, reminding me that time is passing by, that time is finite and unbeatable. So what do? I can't give up my children. The business needs me. And after 20 years, I think I'm going to hold on to my husband. Thank you very much. It seems like I'm at an impasse. And it would be so easy for me to say, well, I've made my bed and I have to lie in it. I could force myself to soldier on, white knuckling it through life, blaming myself for past commitments and getting bitter. But I'm not going to do that. I refuse to treat my commitments like they're life sentences. Instead, I'm going to examine why I choose the things that I did, realize why they aren't working anymore, and renegotiate my life. See, one of the greatest mistakes we make is thinking that it has to be all or nothing, that the things we desire must come in the order and the way we want them to, rather than focusing on the spirit of our desire and working toward that. So if the spirit of my desire is freedom, how can I build more of that into my everyday life? Well, I can block off time for just creative time in my calendar. I can get help with some of those kid activities. I can set aside projects at work that are supposed to be risky and experimental. Let my creative juices flow there. I can network with more creative people. See, knowing the spirit of every dream gives you more flexibility, more ways to reach it, allows you to deal with the reality of life without giving up the dream. If I sat here and insisted that I need to be a full-time creative person, I need to eliminate all my obligations to be able to just immerse myself in my art, I'd never get there. But there are ways for me to get to that spirit of my dream. And you'll discover the spirit of your dreams too, as you've added these small activities on your plate. Which brings us to the next phase. As you make those small tweaks and add more to your plate that you love, you will acquire new skills and meet new people. What always surprises me when I talk to people is how resistant they are to this part, especially if they are older. Learning something new seems so much harder, and meeting new people feels awkward. But here's the thing, Learning new skills and meeting new people spawns new ideas and new opportunities. They energize you, change the way you see things, give you valuable knowledge. No matter how uncomfortable it is, make an effort to embrace those things, especially if you're looking for radical change. You're not too old. It's not too hard. You don't have to be an expert. And it is totally okay to fail and look silly. It's totally okay for the activity that you're doing to not be useful in any way other than it sparks you. And trust me when I say that the right people are looking to meet you too. Just a side note, I've never been criticized for trying and failing by people who are in the arena with me, trying too. It's always people on the sidelines who aren't in the battle. So why should I take their advice? And when I'm 85, will I really care what that person thinks? Newsflash, it's no. So if you're not going to care, just go ahead and embrace this part. Embrace the awkwardness of the new. It's really, really okay. And I want you, while you're doing this, to keep notes. Because you see, after you start adding things, you're going to start making new discoveries. And this is where the final part of the process comes in. The tweaking. Keeping notes will help you when things seem like they're not going well. It'll help you see what tweaks you need to make. Clarity may not come in dramatically. Sometimes it's just a slow evolution of the minutes and hours in your day. And sometimes lightning strikes, opportunity appears, and things change rapidly. Sometimes the small evolutions create the lightning. We can't control how things happen. All we can do is put ourselves in the right spots to get lucky. But your notes will help you with hindsight so that when you have to go through this process again, you'll remember, oh yeah, I didn't realize it at the time, but because I had my notes, I now see how the threads connected. And here's the thing, there may be times in this process when things get really dark, like you're trying everything and nothing is changing. And here's where I want you to do two things. Really take a long look at your notes. See how different things really are. It's really hard to see how far you've come, especially if things are taking time. And second, and this one I got from Mel Robbins and I absolutely love it, tell yourself as many times as you need to that there is no way you can work this hard and do this much and not get rewarded. Just believe in the process. And what you will find as you tweak is the tweaking keeps one simple truth top of mind. The clarity you seek is really only a temporary home until you change again and you have to evolve again. So accept that the effort will be constant, and that's okay. Some final thoughts on all of this. Please know that this process could take time. I think we all get obsessed with these one-year goals. Your goal may take longer than that. Just focus on forward progress. Realize that even the smallest steps mean you're in it, you're living it, and one day it's going to be so much closer than you think. Celebrate the wins, no matter how small, and keep moving forward. Second, remember the only person whose regard you will never, ever escape is your own. That's the truth. Parents die. Siblings build their own lives. Friends move on. Spouses change. Children grow up. In the end, there is only you. And isn't that great? The person who knows you the most is the only person whose opinion you have to care about. Do not let what other people think, say, or do stop you. Stay the course. And most of all, stay vigilant. Keep listening to those body cues, those little whispers that come up even when, actually, especially when they don't make sense. You have all the answers. You just have to be willing to listen to them. And that's it. Thank you guys for joining me today. I know that was a long one, and I hope you got something out of that. Reach out on all social media platforms at Farah Haidar and tell me, what is your heart whispering to you? Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you'll get notified when a next episode is available. Also, I'm giving away a PDF of some of the best quotes we've had on the show, beautifully designed to print and journal your thoughts. And actually, if you guys email me, I could even put this entire process into a sheet that you can follow. Let me know if that's helpful. Email me at farah@farahhaydar.com and title it Quotes. Talk to you soon. Till then, chase your happy.